until February 2014. And then we then began to have the skills development programs and the transfer of funds for housing benefits to the National Department of Human Settlements. Our service delivery is based on MOUs and SLAs that we've established with nine function departments. To date, we have 26 MOUs and SLAs, but the enforcement of service delivery remains a challenge. On policies, we've developed a policy register, which is inclusive of the three programs that run to the department for effective and efficient delivery of services to military veterans. And then, of course, speaking to compliance with the PFMA and Treasury regulations, the issues of the opening balance, and then the issue of condonement of irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and then the issue of material misstatements, and then the appointment of the acting CFO to efficiently address financial management, as well as efficient and essential measures being put in place to address the challenges and improvements to begin to progressively show. So those are already the steps that are underway that we've taken as part of addressing what has been in the audit findings. On human resources, the current approved organizational structure of the department, we've now realized with the experience since the structure was approved that is ineffective to deliver on the military veterans benefits as required. But to mitigate that, we've since activated a process that seeks to strengthen our capability as well as human resource systems. And we would ask for the support of the portfolio committee in this regard, in particular to ensure that the Department of Military Veterans becomes a one-stop shop for delivery of services to military veterans, and so that the military veterans don't move from one department to another. And in fact, that is a point that they're already making, that wherever they go in any of the departments, they get to a point where they are told that they must go to their department, and the matters will be dealt with by their department. Of course, the other matter relates to the identification of beneficiaries, and of course, this is also dependent on the benefits as well. In particular, on the matter of housing, this has become an explosive issue because the Ministry of Veterans Commission wants to be responsible for identification. And of course, on the other hand, the department and maintaining the legislative responsibility for delivery on military veterans, and also the responsibility for the database, we are obliged to establish our own beneficiary identification system. That is incredible, without any fear of it. Now, overall performance overview for the 2013-14 financial year is as follows. We have committed to 50 targeted performance indicators during the 2013-14 financial year. Of those 50 targeted performance indicators, which we reported on, we were able to achieve 20, which in color code terms would mean green, and then 10 were partially achieved, which in color code would be the amber, and then not achieved is 20, which in color code terms would be the red, and then their target terms and the qualification or the calculation of that, which means that we're able to get to the 40%. So what we present articulates performance per program. Firstly, to indicate that all the queries that we have received, parliamentary queries, we've been able to respond to timely. Similarly, the presidential hotline queries have also been satisfactorily answered and they are non-outstanding. We've also utilized the call center that has been established within the department, but also the call center at the South African Military Health Services, the SEMS. And then, of course, we know, as we know now, we had an allocation of 350 1 million, that being including the delivery of benefits as well as the running of the administration. And then the issue that resulted in the underspend was the delaying promulgating the regulations, and that contributed significantly to the overall underspending. Because as indicated at the beginning, our regulations were only gazetted and approved on the 19th of February, just a month before the end of the financial year. And of course, we've indicated we finalized the MOUs with the other departments. But even having done so, that remains a challenge, because we may have entered into some of those agreements, but we have dependencies on those departments or entities to deliver on some of the areas that we must deliver on that are within our legislation. On program one, the administration program, looking at the performance indicators, in the administration program, we have 21 performance targets that were planned for implementation during the 13-14 financial year. And out of that, a total of 14 targets were achieved. 4 were partially achieved and 3 were not achieved, which constitutes 67% achievement of the targeted performance indicators compared to the performance commitments set for the 13-14 financial year. And there it's indicated and broken down in the green, amber, or yellow, and red. Now, just a quick recap on that particular program. For that period, under review, all financial disclosures were captured on the e-disclosure system. Furthermore, our participation in the clusters, cluster meetings, as well as the clusters of director generals and senior officials. We are in 3 clusters, being the Justice, Crime Prevention and Security Cluster, JCTS, the Social Cluster, as well as the International Relations Cluster. HR capacity, we're able to achieve at least 91%. But we've also utilized secondments from the Department of Defense, as well as contract workers that we have taken on to beef up our capacity. We've now revised the performance indicators as reflected in the 13-14 financial year. And we've also, to ensure better efficiency of the financial management, employed a system controller to be able to address the issue of the segregation of duties within the finance and as well as within the supply chain management programs. On program number 2, which speaks to the socioeconomic services, program number 2 had 11 performance targets planned for implementation during the 13-14 financial year. One target was achieved. 3 were partially achieved and 7 were not achieved. And this constitutes 9% achievement of the targeted performance indicators compared to those commitments that we set. And we will indicate what the hurdles were in achieving even 50% of that. This relates to the inconsistencies between the performance indicators as well as the targets. Due to the costing of the bill, and that has served as a baseline during the time that we're going through our legislation. But also, the targets that were set were quite high because of our ambition. We thought that we could be able to do everything and all that we needed to do on delivery to military veterans. Of course, also the request for funds from National Treasury and our ability to begin expending only coming very late in the day during the financial year. We've now since revised our performance indicators so that we are back to reality and taking into account that we do not have the constitutional and legislative mandate to deliver on some of the benefits that are listed in the Act. In terms of the compliance with the statutory documents, we have done that in terms of the guidelines. And then on the delivery of housing, that's part of the underperformance, and it is not a matter of there not being a budget. The budget allocation for housing has been transferred to the various provinces, particularly the human settlement provinces for delivery of housing, but we've not been able to deliver on that. I can only mention the two that were delivered, but those were houses that we were able to do only as a ministerial directive, and it was not houses that were started from scratch, but on existing plots of houses. So therefore, the budget that had been allocated for the planned targets was not utilized, and therefore returned to National Treasury because of what I indicated about the regulations being approved in February. The issue of the database also remained a challenge, which we picked up and noted during the verification processes, that some military veterans were not registered on the system. And that's why we went on campaigns for an updating and registration on the database. And then also to ensure that our database is credible as per legislation, we have instituted the process of cleaning up of the database and plan to conduct a forensic audit into that. So on human resources, the dependence on service delivery agencies contributed significantly to the underspending in that particular program. On the program three, empowerment and stakeholder management, on this program, there were 18 performance targets that were planned for implementation during the 13-14 financial year. Five targets were achieved, three partially achieved, and 10 not achieved, therefore constituting 28% achievement of the targeted performance compared to the commitment set for 13-14 financial year. Now, to speak to that, the inconsistencies on the performance indicators and targets, also the same reasons as indicated on the socioeconomic support branch, that the target that had been set during the costing of the bill, similar reasons as well. We've also, in this program, revised the performance indicators in terms of compliance with the submission of the statutory documents that has been done. On the human resources capacity, at least we've moved up to 91% at this stage. Now, on performance against selected indicators, you'll see that there's a column there, performance indicator, the actual achievement in 12-13, the planned target in 13-14, the actual achievement in 13-14, and then the deviation from that, from the planned target to the actual achievement for 13-14, and a comment on deviations, where there's a deviation. Firstly, on the total number of military veterans with access to dedicated counseling and medical treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, during the 12-13 financial year, we did not undertake noticing during that period. But in 13-14, our planned target was 1,000. The actual achievement within the 13-14 was 507. And the deviation, therefore, is 493. Now, the reason for the deviation of just under 50% is that the military veterans benefits regulations were only approved on the 19th of February, which left the department with no time before the end of the financial year. total number of disabled military veterans with access to health care services per year. 12 days in, there was no auditing undertaken during this period. The planned target in 2014 was 10,000, and the actual achievement was 4,719, therefore a deviation being 5,281, and then the deviation speaks to the fact that the acceleration efforts started late due to the delay in the approval of the regulations. On the total number of disabled military veterans with decent housing per year, in 12-13 there was no auditing of that, but 13-14 the target that we had set was 1,500, and the actual achievement at 2. Now again, this particular benefits line on housing is a stark indication of the extent of dependence on line function departments to deliver services to military veterans. And this remains a challenge, despite having a memorandum of understanding, service level agreements, transferring funds or transfer of funds having happened, and so on. And also, of course, the budget allocation had only permitted the provision of 505 houses. Notwithstanding that, we're still not able to move on that. The service level agreements that we have to date are with the provinces of Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Northwest Free State, and KwaZulu-Natal. The rest of the provinces do have them. They just, in fact, we've concluded them in this financial year, not this financial year under review, but in the 14-15 financial year. On the number of disabled military veterans to access relevant training and skills development a year, in 12-13 there was no auditing done. Our planned target for 13-14 was 2,000. The actual achievement was 1,270 for 13-14 financial year, and the deviation was 730. Comment on the deviations is that we are in continuous discussion with the Department of Water Affairs and other entities on the provision of jobs for military veterans. On the memorial sites that have been erected, the year we had an target of 2. In 2013, there was no auditing done of the actual achievement. The planned target was the 2. We have not been able to proceed on that, on the erection of any memorial sites, due to engagements that we've been having with the National Department of Public Works to finalize and begin implementation of the erection of those tombs, in particular the tomb of the unknown soldier, and also to fast-track overall implementation on the matters of heritage. On the number of events honoring military veterans per year, in 12-13 there was no auditing undertaken. However, the planned target for 13-14 was 3, and actual achievement 0. And deviation, of course, is still remains as 3. We had planned 3 on the basis that we would have held a medals parade to finish off the honoring and memorialization of military veterans from the former National Security Forces of the APLA as well as the UMKhonto-weSizwe. So that did not happen, and as a result, that remains at zero. On the private sector companies in partnership with the DMV, in 12-13 there was no auditing undertaken during this period. The planned target was 10. We have been able to, in the 13-14, have 463 entities that we've entered into partnerships with, and those speak to service providers that have been captured on our database of suppliers. Within that number, there are 23 entities that are owned by military veterans, or where the military veterans have a partnership with other entities. In terms of our contribution to the executive authority's priorities, the first priority is the contribution linked to the executive authority's priorities and then the progress as at 31st March 2014. The first priority, ensuring a fully functional department of managed persons with an independent vote on systems and processes. To report progress as at 31st of March 2014, the deliver on this priority saw the department grow what they had originally started as a small directorate in the Department of Defense in the Human Resources Division to a fully fledged department with a staff complement of 62 by 31st of March 2013, and then in the 13-14, at the end of the 13-14 to 123, and then having only just developed own transversal and accounting systems, and then moved to an own building, no longer squatting at the NEL, and then also being serviced through a transfer payment from the administration program within the vote number 22 of the Defense and Military Veterans Vote. The 2014 medium-term strategic framework will entail the realization of a separate Ministry of Veterans budget vote. That was our plan, with adequate funding to service national, provincial, local, and regional footprint of the Ministry of Veterans community. On priority two, with respect to the strengthening of governance and oversight protocols to give effect to the provisions of the Act, first, with the progress on that as at the end of the 13-14 financial year is that the Act established the governance structures and institutions to provide advice to the executive authority on delivery of justiciable and justifiable socio-economic services to military veterans. And of course, the Act and delegated legislation have created the four structures, four organs of state that report directly to the executive authority. These being the Advisory Council on Military Veterans, the Appeals Board, the Umbrella Association, which is the South African National Military Veterans Association, and also the Special Purpose Vehicle. In terms of delivery, only one of those structures has now been put in place and is running, which is in terms of Section 7.1 of the Act, the establishment of the umbrella body of the military veterans, that is SAMVA. The matter of the SPV, that is the Special Purpose Vehicle, is a matter that had come through what was in the original ministerial task team report in the run-up to the establishment of the department. And then also in line with Section 5.3 and in embracing the intergovernmental relations, legal instruments have been developed across all tiers of government as well as with other social partners to enable that there is a monitoring and evaluation of the socio-economic benefits as articulated in Section 5.1. And these range from, firstly, the contract on the leasing of the National Office for the Department of Military Veterans through the Department of Public Works, and then the development of information and communication systems through service level agreements with CETA, the State Information Technology Agency, and then MOUs and service level agreements with national and provincial departments for delivery of benefits. In terms of priority three, which is the provision of immediate social relief of distress to the most vulnerable military veterans, the progress to report on at the end of the 13-14 financial year is that we have started to date now with the issuing of the social relief of distress in partnership with the Department of Social Development Agencies in collaboration with their agency, SASA. And this was done to date. A list of 1,053 was provided to SASA, and service delivery was only activated in March 2014. And so far out of that 1,053, 833 of the military veterans across the country are already receiving social relief of distress. it's anticipated that as they access the Ministry of Veterans pension, once that gets activated, there will no longer be a need for Ministry of Veterans to receive the social relief of this person. On priority four, which is to provide comprehensive support services to Ministry of Veterans and, where applicable, to their dependents, the period under review saw the gazetting of the regulations which assisted in delivering the needed services to Ministry of Veterans. And this has been implemented as mandated by Section 5 of the Act, speaking in particular to methods of compensation, healthcare, education, housing, pension, public transport, burial support, all of the benefits as listed in Section 5. To speak to each one of them, on compensation, a pilot has been activated during that 2013-14 financial year, and a preliminary list of 100 Ministry of Veterans targeted for compensation. This we picked up from the referrals that had been done originally with the Ministry Pensions Office that is residing in the National Treasury. And primarily those applications that had been declined by the Ministry Pensions Office over the last 3 to 5 years. So we are looking at embarking on a once-off payment compensation pilot through the Ministry Pensions during the next financial year. On healthcare, we have the service delivery agreements with the SAMS, the South African Military Healthcare Services of the Department of Defense, as well as an agreement with the Military Veterans Healthcare Practitioners Association, the MVHPA, as partners in delivery of healthcare to military veterans. We have loaded a total of 7,703 military veterans on the SAMS database for access to healthcare as legislated. And out of the 7,700 that we've loaded, 4,719 are, as we speak, in that supporting period accessing healthcare services. And of course, this was a continuation of a process that started in 2011. And then during that time, in 2011, we had started with the registering 2,000 Ministry veterans who were 60 years and above, and those with chronic conditions. And also then, later on, to strengthen easy access to healthcare, created 9 Military Veterans Help Desks within the SAMS, South African Military Health Services, healthcare facilities across the provinces. Also as the Ministerial Directive in April 2012. We've been able to, during this period under review, for the first time, provide comprehensive medical assessments in partnership with the SAMS and the MVHPA. And out of that, 4,570 military veterans benefited from this exercise. We now have a credible disease profile of all of those who went through the program. And of course, subsequent to that assessment, we were able to also, parallel to that, provide the informative health education on common chronic conditions that had been identified. And out of that program, 925 Ministry of Veterans benefited from that. It also provided us with a basis for future planning on healthcare resources. And also we then proceeded to issue 5,546 healthcare cards to Ministry of Veterans to allow for ease of access at our healthcare service partners. On education benefits, as legislated, education access to military veterans and dependents of military veterans, we have signed and entered into a memorandum of understanding with the NSFAS National Students Financial Aid Scheme, as well as the Department of Basic Education. These are in place to assist facilitation of this benefit. And we've jointly also specific letters to specific military veterans or dependents of military veterans for disbursement to the relevant schools as well as the tertiary institutions. This effort therefore seeks to heighten awareness on the DMD and DBE cooperation in the affairs of beneficiaries within the sector. We have within the reporting period funded 200 military veterans or dependents with education support. And in December 2013, we had the first annual education support meeting with the beneficiaries. And our plan then was that the bursaries are awarded annually by December in preparation for transfer payments to be done by the 31st of March. And this was the plan that we had implemented in the period under review. On housing, we've signed a memorandum of understanding as well as a service level agreements with the memorandum of understanding with the National Department of Human Settlements and service level agreements with the provincial departments of human settlements. Specifically, as indicated earlier, the Northwest, the KZN, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the Free State. And for these funds were transferred and ring-fenced for construction of military veterans' houses for 2013-2014 financial years. With regard to housing in Mpumalanga, this had been also already submitted, as well as the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape were already under progress during that reporting period. The housing subsidy system, which is a tool of the National Department of Human Settlements, was adjusted to accommodate the DMD housing benefit and housing needs test, because the requirement for delivery of housing from the DMD side is different to the national standards, so hence the need to make that adjustment. We also agreed with advance payment of the top-up funds. So we will be looking at, in fact, during this coming financial year to amend the MOU, because we signed that only in 2012. MOU and service level agreements to amend that to look at a different category of funded houses in distress. And we've already forwarded this to the DHS agency, the NH, National Housing Finance Corporation, to action as indicated. On pensions, during the period under review, we did not deliver on the pension benefit, that is the military veterans pension. However, we did produce the first list of eligible recipients of pensions in collaboration with the Special Pensions, the Department of Finance, the Department of Social Development. So that we've done, and we've also, during this period, began a process of the pension framework with the National Treasurer, and we've had that common input from National Treasurer as well. On public transport, as a benefit indicated in the Act, on this there's been very, very slow progress towards the implementation of this particular benefit. And we have not been able to start implementation of that because of the agreements not being concluded as yet with the National Department of Transport as well as the Provincial Departments of Transport and the municipalities, given the complex nature of the public transport in the country. On barrier support, during the period under review, when the Minister of Veterans Benefits Regulations were promulgated in February 2014, Treasury approved that there must be an increase in the barrier support, which before then was at 10,000, and increased that to 25,000. And during the period under review, 180 military veterans households were provided with barrier support to deceased military veterans. On priority five, so the promotion of empowerment programs for of military veterans. In this regard, a number of MOUs were concluded for provision of employment opportunities for mixed residents with the following state departments: the Department of Water Affairs, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. These legal instruments yielded the following achievements during the period under review: facilitated the employment of 1,479 mixed residents in partnership with the Department of Water Affairs, with Environmental Affairs, with Rural Development and Land Reform, with Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, within the Mpumalanga province on the dam site, and then with the Provincial Department of Infrastructure Development in the Gauteng province. On stakeholder management, the draft stakeholder management policy was developed and was to be finalized in the 14-15 financial year. And we do have a stakeholders register that we were developing in the following financial year, that is 14-15. We started that in 13-14. The establishment of the Umbrella Association of Military Veterans, in line with Section 7 of the Act, the launch of that Umbrella Association representing the Military Veterans Formations, and that was at the end of September to beginning of October in 2013. And then also within that period of the financial year, the first celebration of International Women's Day by Women Military Veterans was convened on the 8th of March 2014, and it is planned that we make this an annual event. On provincial offices, in coordination to bring services closer to military veterans and to make the DMV accessible. During this period, all provincial coordinators were appointed in the 9 provinces. 4 provincial offices already functional in KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, Western Cape, and Gauteng, and the rest expected to be operational by the end of the 14-15 financial year. On priority number 6, on the promotion of heritage of military veterans and memorializing and honoring them. In line with Section 5.1c, the DMV, in partnership with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, during this period, partnered and also facilitated the exhumation and dignified reburial of former liberation fighters who had been buried in paupers' graves in Limpopo and the Northwest Province. And then also, in partnership with the Department of Public Works, developed the design and costed the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which we were going to present to Cabinet for approval later on. You recall that this was one of the two that had been mentioned as a priority for delivery on the erection of a monument. On priority number 7, on maintaining a credible and secure national military veterans database, 16,150 personal files have been updated in the database, and this update process is an ongoing one. Currently, and that was for 14-15, now we're implementing the verification process in conjunction with the partners of the Department of Defense, the Umbrella Association, and other military veterans formations. 342 military veterans have in that period been interviewed. 174 of these were recommended to be included. The others did not pass the test. On priority number 8, which is the last of the priorities as indicated, the progress to report on that, and that priority number 8 is the high impact communication and marketing strategy and plan. The communication policy and strategy was developed and implemented, and in pursuit of the public participation program, roadshows were undertaken in provinces, all the 9 provinces, in support of the provision of access to health care, as well as the issuing of health cards, and basically informing military veterans about the mandate and programs of the Department of Military Veterans. Furthermore, in partnership with the Department of Defense, the Ministry of Defense and Military Veterans, not live military veterans in celebration of Mandela Day in Gauteng and the Eastern Cape Province. And then thirdly, further mobilization of military veterans in the Northwest Province on the showcasing of those two prototype houses of the military veterans. And then furthermore, aggressive implementation of the communication and marketing strategy also entail the following: the launch of the DMV website, the launch of the Honor magazine that is distributed to most military veterans and government departments, and then a constant media interaction on DMV progress, as well as an intensified media campaign to promote the DMV as an accessible national home of military veterans. And then hosting the first International Women's Day celebration, and then the launch of the call center with those numbers as indicated, and then promoting accessibility of benefits to military veterans, and then utilizing social media such as YouTube, and then also as part of that Facebook, as part of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and so on. And then furthermore, utilizing the mainstream media through adverts and editorial platforms on the print and electronic media, as well as community-based media, and then using national and regional media, that's resulting in more and more military veterans and their associations having increased access to information and services as well as benefits. On human resources management, an indication of employment and vacancies by program as at the end of the financial year, 31st March 2018. Under program administration, the number of posts on the approved establishment, 104, number of post fields, 80, that translates into a vacancy rate of 23%. And on the number of employees additional to the establishment within the administration program is 4. On socioeconomic support branch, the number of posts on the approved establishment 20, and the number of posts filled 16 during that period under review, leaving a vacancy rate of 20%. And additional to the establishment 15. On the empowerment and stakeholder management branch, the number of posts on the approved establishment 45, and the number of posts filled 27, and the vacancy rate of 40%, and those additional to the establishment 2. So therefore, to sum up, the total of the number of posts on approved establishment is 169, and posts filled 123, leaving a vacancy rate of 27.2%, and the total of those additional to the establishment at 21. In terms of the occupational categories, you see them as listed there. I'll not go into their details. In accordance with the different categories, legislators, senior officials and managers, the professionals, technicians, clerks, and so on. And the breakdown is there indicated per gender as well as by race, giving us that total of 123. On the appropriation statement, appropriation per program, including the adjusted appropriation. On the administration program, 129 million, socioeconomic support 135, and empowerment and stakeholder 76. Totaling to that 351,431,000. And then in terms of environment, that is indicated on the third column there. And then final appropriation, still standing at 351. In terms of the actual expenditure, that is 165 million, and the variance is 185. Expenditure as a total is 47.2%. Now, on the audit findings, Auditor General of South Africa audit findings, the Auditor General during the 13-14 financial year highlighted the following key aspects for consideration. The annual financial statements, in particular within that irregular expenditure, accruals, tangible capital assets, opening balances, comparative figures of all items disclosed in the financial statements. And then on predetermined objectives, consistency of objectives, indicators and targets, measurability of indicators and targets, reliability of reported performance information, and on compliance, it was with respect to financial statements, performance and annual reports, and expenditure management. On compliance, it was with respect to financial statements, performance and annual reports, expenditure management, revenue management, asset management, procurement and contract management, human resource management, and compensation. And on internal controls, leadership, financial and performance management. On the mitigation strategy, to the audit findings implementation plan, the department has developed an implementation plan to address all the issues that have been raised. And that plan clearly spells out what each manager must do within every branch with time frames. And this process is spearheaded by the Directorate Internal Audit, which is also assessed by the Audit Committee, which meets every month. And also utilization of the Executive Committee meetings to monitor the departmental dashboard. In conclusion on those parts, the performance report shows that we've been able to deliver 40% of planned targets during the 13-14 financial year, and the variance of 60% that we did not achieve as planned. I thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable members, then it will be over to you now for questioning. Honorable Kamede will be the first. Honorable Bongo, Honorable JJ, Honorable, are you having your hand up, Honorable Sam? Honorable Sam, in that order. Before you start, did you want to say something?
Yes, sir, with your indulgence. I just wanted to just make a very short additional presentation. It's just on the annual financial report. It's a few slides. Just to add to this. Yes. Okay. All right. The basis of preparation and then comparative figures as well as the initial statement. Now we prepare the financial statements on a modified cash basis of accounting, and then also constituting the cash basis of accounting, supplementing with the disclosure items. And then on comparative figures, there were no comparative figures for financial year 2012-13, as we had used DOD systems, and there were no opening balance that were used from the DOD systems. And that contributed to the disclaimer of the financial statement. And the appropriation statement is then indicated as shown there in those three different programs. And the economic classification, okay, compensation of employees, goods and services, payment of capital assets, broken down in terms of the main vote and the final appropriation and the actual expenditure, and then the percentages of the expenditure, which then gives the total expenditure of 47%. And on the financial under expenditure, this was mainly due to, firstly, in the administration program, dealing not received from the Department of Public Works for infrastructure and property management services, such as our head office accommodation, rental, water, and electricity. Secondly, the funds allocated for procurement of furniture for the head office because the appliance suppliers could not deliver the full quantities and quality of furniture as required, so they could not be paid the amount that was originally planned. And then on possible irregularities which occurred in the tender process resulted in putting on hold the procurement of goods and services. And then furthermore, the Department of Public Works declined to process requests of identified property for healthcare and wellness centers in Midland, which had been meant to also be finished, acquired and finished with the furniture and other equipment. On the socio-economic support program, the main reason for underspend as well, that delayed approval of the regulations and the slow filling of the post. And then lastly, on empowerment and stakeholders, similar reasons, delayed approval, late approval of the regulations. That's all, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kamede. Okay.
Thank you very much for this presentation. Chair, in my comments, I'll be honest to the department.
Speak closer to the mic, Honorable Commissioner.
As close as possible.
Hello? Yes, Chair, this one is for better. I'm saying to the department that I'll be as honest as possible, as usual, so that we'll call a spade a spade, and so that we can try and rectify things. One is a comment is that disclaimers generally as a committee and as parliament do not make us proud. And they actually encroach into our work as a committee that we're supposed to do oversight. So a disclaimer we want to place on record that it's a very bad thing. It doesn't end with the department. It comes back to us as members who are supposed to do oversight. And where to start as a comment, I don't know where to start because most of the things were not achieved. It's just like trying to hold a body that is broken all over and try and hold it so that you put it somewhere and you rescue it. Well, first issue on achievements, I don't know if you'll correct me. I think in principle, the partially achieved targets should not be either stressed or included. My argument is, if you look at page 2 and all the other pages, you have got a target of 11, you achieve 1, you partially achieve 3, then not achieve 7. Then the impression given is that only 7 was not achieved. Whereas even the partially achieved is not achieved. So I think we need to find a way because I'll be comfortable if it falls under not achieved rather than, you know, because at the end of the day on the analysis, you say not achieved is 7. As if, I want you to explain and argue and convince me why we should not put it as not achieved. The second point is on the issue of housing, which you mentioned on page 6. That there were about 1,500 that were to do. But then the 505 had a budget. What was the challenge? Because the budget was there on the 505. And there were two houses that were built in Northwest. Why not two houses in all the provinces? Where, I mean, if you have that target, you were able to build two. What was the main cause that you could not build even two in each province? Now the other issue on page 6 is the main reason given by the department is that most of the things, more especially houses and other things, they rely on other line departments to implement them. But there is one issue of planning events. We plan to have 3 events. There is no line function that is department that you need. It's your own department, but you fail to do that. What would be the cause of that? Now that's your own making. You don't rely on anybody. It's you. The other question is, you mentioned that there are 23 companies owned by veterans. Now the question is, how many one benefits generally from procurement out of those 23? Because it's one thing to be in the database, it's the other to benefit, if you are able to do so. And 2, how many benefits to real defense procurement? Not cleaning and grass cutting and all that, making tea and all that. The real defense procurement. How many benefits to that? The other question, which is on page 11, the issue of additional to staff establishment. If you could put some meat there so that I can come back and do a follow-up. More especially, I'm interested in the SES, that you would have, you won't have the full complement, you won't achieve, you won't have the full complement of staff. You would have 16, but you would have outside the establishment 15, whereas your staff is not complete, is complete, if I'm correct. Yeah, that's the one. So your staff complement is not complete, but you have more, quite a big number outside. The last but one issue is the comment by the AG on 2 issues. This should be the last. I'll come back in the second round. I'm very much worried if the AG comments about compliance and internal control. You know, those are 2 basic things that any department or any institution should just be familiar with. But if there's so much comment from the AG about compliance and internal control, when we have management, warm bodies who are capable of doing this job, what could be the cause of us not being compliant and really not observing internal controls? Thanks, Chair. I'll stop there for now.
Okay. Did you not constitute, Chair?
Partially achieved. I'm sure that is what the Honorable Member will want to know.
Honorable JJ? Oh, Bongo. Honorable Bongo. JJ will fall.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I wonder why you did not stop with the Honorable Gamet, because he has almost asked all the questions. And that's the news.
He's still in the thunder.
Yes. Yeah, Chair. I think the issue about the disclaimer is it's worrisome. I think it's what I want to know from the department is the turnaround strategy, so that in the next financial year we're not faced with the same problem. Otherwise, we'll have to take extreme measures. And one other issue I want to know, it will be the issue around these legal instruments. The extent to which the instrument support the department in terms of the Section 5 of the Act. And also my other comment was around the issue of the partial, because if you think something was partially done, you can't say then it was, you can't put it on those that are done If it's partial, then you must put it on the other side because you have not done it. I want to also get clarity on the issue of the association. You made mention of the issue of the association, the extent to which it is assisting the department to carry out its mandate. What are the challenges there? And what is it that we can do as a portfolio committee to enhance the issue of association to make sure that the department fulfills its mandate? I'll stop there for now.
Honorable Skosana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the two speakers have almost exhausted what I'm supposed to say. But I want to emphasize the issue of a turnaround strategy. As we're listening to the presentation, we get the sense that things are not going well. But if things are not going well, you must come up with a plan how to address them. Therefore, I'm more interested on the part of turnaround strategy. The DG must emphasize that so that we can clearly understand of how are we going to deal with these things. And also, Chair, I must say, the military veterans, it's very important in the department, and of which we need clear plans that will address all the challenges that they have. Because when you look to the budget that you have as a department for that sector, and they look to the expenditure and under expenditure, really it gives more thinking, more questions than answers. Can you please outline clearly those plans of dealing with these matters? We're more interested on that part because we must move forward. We can't start because there were challenges. Challenges, we come up with a plan how to resolve them in going forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I just wish to also express my concern. It's now almost 10 past 11, and the time is extremely limited for the number of questions that I have available. And I feel that we may require some additional time. I would appreciate that consideration. Starting off immediately, I think the issue of the AGIS report, and we can go to that particular section in page 94 of the annual report. And I don't think it is simply opening of balances and comparative figures. Any disclaimer speaks to fundamental issues. Fundamental issues in a department of internal control and deficiencies, of paperwork, simple paperwork of invoices and receipts, and having a paper trail that is totally absent. And this raises serious concern if a department is staffed by 90%, 123 of 135 funded posts, not 169, that was the EPSA agreement, but only money available for 135 posts, of which 91% was low at 123. But then the department has 52 additional posts, 50 as an indicator on the HR, plus the contract workers and secondments. So this part of the department was operating almost with 180 somewhat people, way above the actual complement approved by DPSA. And secondments are not paid by the department itself. A secondment is paid by the department that sends the individual. That individual stays on that complement of that staff, and that any person filling that post will be in an acting position. And those that are seconded work in another department and paid by the other department. So this department has been leveraging on 50 posts free of charge. And it's not only junior positions. It were all different positions. If you take to the HR report, I can even give the whole list on page 69 of all the different posts that were occupied and the critical posts that were occupied. I don't want to go into detail with it because this is one of the key issues and it's one of the high risk issues. Competent, qualified staff. And if you have 90% manned and you only have a 10% balance that you've got to fill of the 135 of which is funded, and you could not perform your job and your capacity is lacking, it means you've got to go through an intensive training program to get individuals in the department up to scratch to perform their job. You have not employed competent people in the first place. And this is a great concern for me, and therefore when we look at the AGIS report, it is expected that that will happen. We also look at the ITT systems, another high-risk area. We look at data integrity, not only of the database, but all other data within the system. And then we look at the legal instruments, which Bombo has referred to, which is your MOUs and SLAs, which has not been completed. And that year it was failed completely. This year we still have a few outstanding. It's not completed yet. And we're saying that those MOUs had to be done long ago. This department came into existence in principle in 2009 after the election. The money was allocated from 2011. There was a dedicated budget for this department under the administration. And that was a separate unit and it was reported in a separate item within the AR and within the E&E. So I'm saying that there must be comparative figures. There must be opening balances because money was transferred to this unit and they acted independently even though they were part of the DOD. And I think this is a concern. Rightfully the AG is asking the question, where is the trail? Where is the information? Where is the money? More so, we have got a report that is outstanding of the DG, of the minister. I put a request in writing to the minister as well, asking for the internal audit report and a subsequent forensic report which had to be overseen by the DG. Now that report speaks to a DDG that was suspended and subsequently resuspended. And there was a CFO that was on sick leave, so nothing could happen and all the reports were then implicated. So we had the most senior people of the institution not available for 3 months out of action. So where is this report that speaks to all those issues? And in that report is an indication from the Auditor General's report about procurement issues, tender processes that were not followed, money that was unauthorized, money that were irregularly spent. People didn't follow proper procedure. There was no, what we call standard operating procedures being followed by officials. So this is a very serious matter, which I think we cannot simply say what is a turnaround strategy. What is the mess that we've got to clean up? Who are the people responsible for causing the mess? Let us sort that out, then we speak about turnaround strategies. So I've got a very grave concern of this department and clearing up key positions within this department and that we get the proper job done. So this is concerning the AGIS report, which speaks about the accruals, goods and services, tangible capital assets, besides the opening balances and comparatives, which is only one of those items. It is not the only reason for this report being a disclaimer. Disclaimer is the worst. You cannot express any opinion on a department because of complete lack of information and evidence. So that is how serious it is. It is not simply a disclaimer because of a simple matter that can be put straight. It's a fundamental issue. Then I want to move on to the HR division. The HR division we can see of the 123 out of 125, which is 91%. That's an overachievement, which is great for the department. But it doesn't speak to the quality of the people appointed. Secondly, in terms of its own policies of employment equity, this department has also not complied. There's not a single word about it. Not a single word. Not in any of the reports that I read. And I think that is a concern. If I'm looking at the people employed, then we can see, I mean, if you look at page 69, if you look at the contract posts, contract levels 1 to 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 8, 9 to 12. 9 to 12 are highly professional people before you get to SMS. And they have, if you look at them, 8 have been employed, 9 have been employed, 50 in total. 15, so not 21 additional staff members there. That is not correct. That is not correct. What's reported here, we can see the total adding up to 173 employees. 173 employees, not 123. 50 additional members that have been putting in work into this department. I'm asking, where is the results? Where is the achievement? With so much capacity, what did we do? And that speaks to a lack of management. And this is one of the internal control issues as of leadership. Leadership needs to pull up the stocks very, very high. And I think this is a concern, even that the minister itself, that yes, we should not allow, there is no application when you delegate authority. The head of department is responsible, the CFO is responsible, finances, we're not responsible people. But delegation is not an abdication of responsibility. The minister must still account for the inefficiencies in leadership. The minister is ultimately not the deputy minister. The deputy minister has come, is new. And we appreciate that, that Mr. Mpatso has come now. And but of course, the other minister has taken over the responsibility. And we need the minister to report to us and to tell us what has been the investigation and what steps has the minister taken to address this issue. And not the HOD. This is the minister's political responsibility. We've seen the achievement and underachievement, and I think I agree with Honorable Gamedi. It's just so many that it deals with almost every single issue. I don't know how we can address it. We cannot just say it is simply because posts were not filled. I have just now motivated and mitigated that it is not the posts that were not filled. Because we had 50 additional people in the establishment. Yes, the transfer of monies that was delayed. That, from the 351, we know that 165 was only spent, and they only had available 151, so about 10 extra million was spent. We understand that for the late transfer, which we agreed to. But I still find it very strange that so much work would not be accomplished in terms of legal instruments, in terms of the regulations. We have dealt with the regulations as a committee last year, the year before, in June, July, when we had the regulations table before us, and we could deal with it. It only took effect in 2014, the 19th of February. Why has this department failed to complete? And even the amendments to the application form, amendments that we've recommended, those amendments have not been considered. And it's on record in our minutes what we've discussed and what we've rectified and what all members participated in. So I'm urging the department to take this committee seriously. Please consider the members are the ones that face the military veterans on a daily basis. People phone me, people come to my office, I have meetings with them, and I should find 110 excuses for the delays. If we are proud of military veterans and people that fought for the liberation of this country and for this democracy that we have and that we want to preserve, then clearly we need to address the heroes of yesteryear and also give them due respect. I don't think we are doing that at all. I am very concerned, and there's very much disturbances on the ground and people speaking about many things because they are not getting what they've been promised. And they know there's benefits available. And it's only a few. 16,150 has been registered. Out of that 7,000 have got cards, health cards. Out of that 4,700 of them only had access to health services. And we got 57,000 on one database, besides all the what we call the SS, statutory forces, CPRs, that have not been considered. And this is my concern. Why don't we make one national, we call it the one national database, military veterans, but do we still have about five different databases? For the vendor guys, the TBDC states, we have CPRs. We've got CPRs for the SADF before, South African Defense Force. We have for the SSCC. We have for INCATA. But all these things are there. Why is this not being consolidated? Those CPRs are there. Why do we still have it as separate entities and not one military veterans database? And tell people you qualify and you don't qualify. That is the bottom line. You, all of us are military vets. But it doesn't mean all of us have access to benefits. So I don't think we are treating people equally and neither we are dealing with issues on merit. Clearly this sends the wrong message out to military veterans out there. that we are dealing with a privileged elitist group within military governance. And that is the wrong impression. I don't think any of us have that intention. But this is what is coming across, the perception that certain people only benefit. And Honorable Mayor is correct. If we have so many companies registered, you've got so many military vets registered, those that are getting the privileges and advantage because they've met the criteria, they've been verified, they go through the system. Others don't. And as long as that process is delayed, justice is denied. Opportunities are denied. Economic benefits and socio-economic benefits are denied. And this is incorrect. When a child qualifies now for a school education and a first degree, if this verification takes place 20 years later, it denies the children of that military vet to have benefit from the system. This is injustice that we are committing. And I'm appealing to the department. The Deputy Minister has made a commitment that the 31st of December, the database will be up to date and finished. That day, Christmas is coming on. But Santa Claus did not deliver a database. I see in this report, 13-14, I can understand, at 40%. The minister said 60% will be completed in 6 months. Now we know that was also just another wish. But we need to know the exact status and how much real effort and additional effort is being put into clearing up this database. The MOU's legal instrument SLAs are progressing well. How is finality also now with those matters? But those matters impact on service delivery for our military veterans. I would like to also say it is a report that are outstanding, internal audit. It is also the forensic report. We need an explanation of the suspension. We want to know also that the DG was appointed afterwards, reinstated, appointed to oversee the implementation of that forensic report. We have not heard a single outcome and neither a single impact of that report. And any staff that has been disciplined, any staff that has been dismissed, any staff that has been warned with its verbal warnings or written warnings, we've heard nothing. Now that is the one part of it, Honorable Chair. This is a concern for me. The other one I'm coming to now is the issue of the one-stop shop. We cannot call for a one-stop shop if we don't have the capacity and don't have qualified people to do it. We cannot do it. And therefore, we should continue with the aligned authorities that exist in other departments, and we need competent people to manage the SLAs and MOUs. That's what it's calling for. Every time you sit on the phone, you get the job done. People must build houses, they must build houses for the military vets. I'm not part of another housing scheme that will be accommodated in the next 3 or 5 years. Money is allocated, the contractor can be appointed, but it's managed by a different department. And that's why I find it strange. Bursaries, and I'm not sure, the DG has not given a clear indication. Was the money transferred to NASFAS? Was it from the housing, human settlements, I hear money was transferred, other people were responsible. 1,500 was a target, 505 was funded, 2 were both, and it settled 168 million. So we're sitting here with a problem in the sense that we have transferred money to departments. But within my report, it says zero transfers has taken place in this department. No, that is not true. It says zero misconduct took place. And we find that our SMS did not sign the declaration of interest. The SMS, the most senior people. The staff didn't complete, we had a 30%, 70% failure to complete. We had a one person that did not sign. Now, in terms of the report itself, it says any person that did not sign that document has then committed misconduct. And if you can commit misconduct, there must be a disciplinary hearing. There's not a single one listed under HR. Now the reason given is this person's supervisor left, but the person remains there. So the disciplinary hearing could not proceed, and the matter could not be addressed because the supervisor left. Now that is incompetence. So, besides the other mistakes, which I will give to the department, there are calculations that are incorrect of percentages. There's also typing errors in this report, which I will give to them gladly. I'm not going to discuss it here at all, Honorable Chair. The time is too short. I want to also indicate the performance bonuses, I agree, that was a carryover of the previous year of 1230. There was 17,000 that was paid out. That was of the previous year. The current year, people didn't deserve any bonus. The BRR, that is why the DA has objected. It's because this report is only being now being dealt with. And all the quarterly reports are being dealt with now. So the BRR, while we objected, was not properly informed by the QPRs and neither by the AR. Therefore, we could not agree that that report be submitted and give guidance to the executive authority to consider making changes to the next cycle for the budget. I then want to say the ICT issue has been oncoming, and so the communication and marketing strategy. This is a serious problem, because this leads to all these problems. If you don't have your proper ICT in place, your IT is not functioning well, it means your information flows, the DMS and all those issues, becomes problematic. And this had to be one of the key priorities for the department to have dealt with. And this has not been resolved yet. We're sitting now in 2015-16 financial year, and I've got a problem with that if this is not resolved very quickly, because this actually processes all the information. The communication and marketing, the report says there was not a single complaint to this department, so they're doing well. The call center function. I have complaints every single day. I can show you my phone of the military veterans. I can show you all the structures that are calling me. And that they're calling Mr. Masala across the road at Parliament Towers, and he's not in his office. There is no complaint. There's a serious complaint that this department's numbers are not being responded to. So I am extremely unhappy that we're giving a very bad image of the department, and we got infrastructure, and we got people employed, and we got desperate military veterans out there in desperate situation, and I really mean desperate. If I show you the SMSs and emails that I get that describe the people and their condition, I don't think it's something very happy to look at. I've got a big worry about that, and I feel the department needs to come to the point. We need to address it. We should deal with the least complaints, because the department is so proactive, because they're engaged, they're accessible. That is what they say, even now in the presentation this morning. The national home of the military veterans is accessible. It is not. We need to address that, Honorable Chair. I'm very concerned about it. The provincial offices, there was a promise of the 9, eventually rolled out 1, and now there are 4 operating, and Mr. Masala is one of them. And I need the department to check on Mr. Masala. Even I have to ask, when is Mr. Masala available so that I can meet him at the office? So the provincial office is supposed to be bringing the military veterans department closer to military vets wherever they are located. Let us hope it plays that role. And we'd love it to play that role, because it will take a huge burden off our backs, and so that we can do our work and also our oversight better. Otherwise, we're dealing with complaints every day. The issue of the pension, that matter is a worry. A simple notice that has gone out to the military vets would have helped greatly. This matter is only being considered last year. The matter has not been finalized. Certain people only benefited. Other people have been denied. My view on the matter is, I tell every military vet, are you 60? Please don't take a state pension, because this department is not clear when they're going to finish the job. Take the little money and make the most of it. But my hands are tied. I am not the department. So the pension issue has been delayed, and people are asking and asking and asking, and the matter's not been settled, and we're still sitting with different pensions, and we were looking for a single pension for all military vets. The issue of the benefits that were issued to members, whether it was health cards, whether it was birthdays, etc., yes, it was a directive from the minister to proceed with that, and of course the concern other military vets would have is, why do certain people qualify and we don't qualify? And if the criteria that we must be on the database, and we've been denied access to the database, or our verification process has taken so long, which means our kids are always going to suffer. So I want people to be very clear about the criteria used for appointing people, because only those that are verified on the database seem to be getting the benefits. And if this process is not done quickly, the years will carry on, and more people will be deprived. course, we've got the social relief, I can understand. I think many people don't know about the distress and social relief fund that's available. And the problem is that us, we're not on the database, so can we apply for help? We are in a desperate situation. What do we do? And the same thing happened to the lady at Military 2 Hospital in Wymer. They phoned me from there and they say, the lady can't explain to us. She can't assist with this issue. I'm trying to register. I can't get into the hospital. I am a military vet. This is my number, but I'm not on the database. So people are queuing at the hospitals, waiting for help, and some of them suffered because of the wars they were involved in and the conflicts they were involved in. So at this age, they're now struggling to get some basic health care and to relieve them of their pains. The other one is, of course, the SPV. I do appreciate the SPV. That is also the appeals board that has to be in place already, and also the advice report that has to be in place. That, we said, was in process, I believe. That was the last report I had. I hope it's not fully functional, like the military ombudsman is. However, somebody, I'm glad about it. I've got a problem. 2013-14, we had an election and a conference that took place. And there were a body elected, the executive. And according to the Military Veterans Act, this body must report back to the minister. We have not seen any report. Subsequently in 2014, after the election, I know that a new umbrella body was elected. And of course, Deputy Minister Makamba Basso, they stepped down because he was the president of it. Because there was a conflict of interest. And of course, he stepped down and announced it to us. Now, we need to also understand this body has been changing. It's coming on for a while. But every time they've elected an executive or a body that represents military organizations, this committee has not seen a single report. And they have received monies to do work, and they've also been working with the department in the verification process and assisting the department. So I'd like to know what happened to the Sunba report and if the minister actually received it. I think we've spoken, there's an unemployment database, and I'd like to have some report on that, and how widely that is given media exposure. Military vets know they can sign up, lodge the CVs, and if they don't have, and they're not capable of writing CVs, will the department make available staff that can assist those military vets of writing up a basic CV so that they can be in line for any job that's available. So the unemployment database, there's a company database, I see it's only 10 initially, but suddenly we've got 463, and this will multiply. And I hope the department scrutinizes and screens these entities, and that they honor fronts. We've warned about that before, that military veterans are those mostly poor individuals, and they will be used as fronts to get access to tenders and procurement. And Honorable Gamed is correct. Who are the people that are really benefiting? Are these real tenders, or are these maybe just cleaning the grass, cutting the grass, some cleaning operation? What is it about? And do they have the capacity? So I think we need to have some understanding of what is the unemployment database, the company database, besides the National Military Veterans Database, Honorable Chair. And of course, the status of that report, what is the position, since the minister has promised to complete it by the end of 2014, that is last year. The other one is, let me just get to this one quickly. I think we've dealt with all the strategic guidance.
Yeah, no.
I'm just checking. I'm sorry,
I'm not sure. If you are done, you are done.
No, I just want to run through that quickly. Let me just double check for you. I will get back to the other ones.
No, it's fine, Honorable Members. I think basically you are speaking the same language. The concern is very common. I think the department is listening to that, because most of the comments would not need answers from you. Those are advices as to what course of action you should take. That 27. That's why I said I will give it a little bit of time, because the second presentation does not need that much of the discussion. But still we need to finish within time, even if we give it a little bit of time. We need to finish that. And then there are issues that if you cannot answer, you must respond in writing to this committee. So the response will be sent to all honorable members, and we take it from there. Can we approach it that way, honorable members? Thank you very much. Is there any issue that you need to answer? I don't want you to answer what you are not supposed to answer, because some of the issues are advices. You don't have to go back to them. You just have to go back to do those which need immediate answers now. Honorable Ojiji.
Thanks, sir. The issue of the way the report is presented in terms of the color coded and indicating what was achieved, what was partially achieved, and what was not achieved at all, is the design of the performance monitoring and evaluation format that we've been given, and the manner in which we are actually statutorily expected to be reporting. The partial achievement speaks to the fact that there are steps, some progress registered, but it's not 100%. And then it gets reflected that the partial achievement. The issue of the dependence on the health function department, we have some proposals that we will table in due course to the committee in terms of some changes to the legislation, which will be brought to you once that has passed through the processes of tabling and approval by the ministers, and then we will bring that to ensure that we strengthen the legislation, because in implementation we've also picked up certain gaps with the legislation and so on. The issue that the honourable members have indicated, the need for visibility on the actual plan, what is the plan or intervention plan or turnaround strategy and so on. We do have that. We can, once table, share our turnaround strategy with the committee in due course, which we have already begun, and in fact we've been even gone so far as to seek external assistance of professional entities for us to be able to do that, at least, and also indicating what are the time frames by which we should have completed that. The matter of compliance, we are strengthening compliance in the areas that the AG has identified. We're strengthening that. We've now even appointed a compliance officer of the department, but beyond that, also looking at the extent to which we need to beef up the monitoring and evaluation structure of the department, as well as even the same compliance, because at the moment it's only one person who's appointed the compliance officer. The issue of the military veterans companies and which of them have benefited, what they've benefited, we can only have sight of that once we engage with the DOD in terms of those that have approached the DOD or made some procurement with the DOD, and then we can then be able to report back to the committee in terms of what that has been. The MOUs and the SLAs, the challenge with that, even as we've entered them, is that we don't have the capacity to enforce them, despite even a clause in the Act which calls on or places an obligation on all entities of state departments to collaborate with the Department of Ministry of Excellence. Hence, even as we have transferred money, we cannot enforce that certain things are done. And I'll take housing as an example. It can only be through discussion and persuasion and so on. And so in the bigger scheme of things, if we're talking national housing, the Ministry of Excellence were only a small, very, very small blip. But we still believe that while we will continue engaging, and hence we are even looking at revising the MOU that we entered into at ministerial level as well. Still on MOUs and SLA, on the NSFAS one, we actually have transferred funds to NSFAS for delivery of education, tertiary education, during the same financial year we are reporting on. We can give the exact figure that we have transferred for 2013-14, as well as the numbers of military veterans or dependents of military veterans who have benefited in the 2013-14 financial year. The matter of the Umbrella Association that has been raised has a concern in terms of their report. We have not received the report. As indicated in the Act, that they need to table or present their report to the Minister once a year. We have not yet received that as the department. It's a matter we have raised with the Umbrella Association that remember that the requirements to table a report annually to the Minister. So that is a matter that they are aware of, and we'll continue engagement with them on that. And we are also further looking at defining what is the role of the Umbrella Association vis-à-vis the department, because there is often a blurring of lines, especially from the part of the association in terms of what they think their mandate is vis-à-vis what they think the mandate of the department is. But those are matters we are engaging with. Also, Treasury has been brought on board in that because we're looking at eventually having some ring-fenced amounts that is then transferred to them so that they're totally independent. The issue of the senior officials placed on special leave, including yours truly, to indicate that they resumed work on the 1st of August 2014. Yes, there are recommendations that were indicated in the report that is being referred to. On the matter of the CFO and the absence of the CFO, for the better part of the audit, actual audit period, that is a matter that is being currently addressed through a disciplinary process that is underway. But also, to close the gap, there has been an appointment of a senior official to act in the capacity of a CFO, as well as, in fact, also in the supply chain management, appointed a senior official on second an agreement with the minister that they should come in and ensure that we have all the systems in place, processes and procedures. On the matter of the... So in overall terms, That is what can also be indicated as having attributed to the disclaimer, the absence of the CFO for the better part of the audit period, as well as, of course, then, in addition, the absence of the senior officials during the time that the audit was being conducted. The other matters related to provincial offices, matters we have now appointed in all the provinces, provincial coordinators. We still have a challenge of office space, and in the Western Cape, we are using the coordinators with the office of the department. They are working from the office of the department. A specific reference to Mr. Masala and him not being available. Mr. Masala is taken ill, and we are looking at the intervention measures to be able to get somebody in his place. In the meantime, he's taken ill, but he is seriously ill. as we speak. But we are looking at beefing up the capacity of the Ministry of Excellence provincial office. And once we've got the final confirmation also from the Public Works, because there are two dependencies there. It's the National Department of Public Works to provide us with the offices in the provinces, and also the provincial government to provide us with that. We have continued to engage with the Public Works, written to the provincial governments, premier's offices, and so on, so to for us to be provided with office space for our coordinators, because we also have a plan to beef up the staff with the provincial coordinating office. But we cannot continue with that if we don't. They don't yet have a place that they will then operate from. But we take as very critical the issue of functional provincial offices in all the provinces. The issue of the increased or the staff above or outside the establishment or additional to the establishment, most of those are in would have been in the help desks that we've established. We've got them additional to the establishment. The other categories within that data capturers that were taken on to assist as part of the database updating as well as the verification process. So that's the bulk of the staff who are additional to the establishment. Yeah, I think I should stop there. Okay, let me conclude with the statutory structures, the advisory council and the appeals board. We're just awaiting final treasury approval on the rates and remuneration and so on from national treasury. But everything else in terms of processes for the appointment of such members, that has been completed. So that is the only part which is outstanding. When this is that come the beginning of the new financial year, that will be in place and it should be functional. The matter of ICT, we are attending to that. We do have an agreement with the CETA, and we've transferred funds to CETA for installation of our ICT systems. Also within that, to then have a linkage with the provinces. Now the challenge again, with no fixed domain in the provinces, then that linkage is not there. But they all have the tool of trade in the provincial offices. They all have the tool of trade. We are working on that, and in fact we've also even appointed a chief of the Government Information Technology Officer to oversee all of that, plus the staff within that component that deals with ICT. I think let me take that for now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, DJ, for responses. Honorable members, as the chairperson has requested that some of the answers must be in writing, and forwarded to us as individuals. I don't know whether is there any follow-up question before maybe we get to the next item, which is in the agenda. Honorable Esso.
Honorable Chair, I do appreciate that all the issues were not actually addressed. We've made certain comments also within the reports. I mean that there's indicators that show this it's not applicable, and in reality transfers did take place, complaints did take place, and it's not actually in the report. There's no explanation given for those things, and we've raised also the issue of the secondments. I mean the additional staff that we have there, I do appreciate some of them are health workers. That doesn't give an explanation. ICT and health workers, because it's 50 staff that we employed. We only had 9 provincial offices, and it was a slow rollout on that, and only 4 were actually open. So I think the follow-up question is exactly where were the 50 people placed? I mean, these are follow-up questions that we need to interrogate and ask and get clarity on it, because we know this department has been lacking in competency to execute the job and get the things done.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I should think it's proper if the department is answering that in a written form so that we can understand clearly why that has happened and how are they going to deal with that matter going forward. Can we move forward to the next item while the chairperson is out, but we must move with the agenda because I'm appointed as chairperson for your advice.
Thanks, Mr. John. I just wish that I don't give anyone here my flu. That's why I'm seated where I'm seated, because I... Well, Mr. Chairman, I honestly do concur with you when you say, you see, some of these questions that we ask are really very fundamental, very comprehensive, and very substantive, and therefore, in my view, they would warrant a well-considered response. We cannot actually just come off the cuff right now. So I would imagine that the leadership of the department would need some time back in their offices, various offices, to sit down and consider all these questions that actually have been posed and see if they cannot come up with comprehensive answers. So I do support you that perhaps we need to move forward, but on the proviso that the outstanding questions actually are comprehensively answered and in writing, and then we are finished with such copies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honourable Chair, I think I'll agree to it, but there needs to be a time limit because we need to have the answers. If I do not have the answers within 10 days, I will have to answer questions to this department. So I would like the department to respond, and I'm serious about it. The department knows that we put questions, I spend a lot of time, weeks on this report, to compile and to think about it, and I think it's in the best interest of government, of our people, of our military base, and I would appreciate that cooperation. I'll appreciate it very much. Thank you very much.
Honourable Esau, I get your point. This is what has initiated by the chairperson that must get this answer in writing. Can we rely on the chairperson to make a follow-up to the department and get those answers as expected? Honourable Manier, your hand was up. I want to move forward.
Chair, I wonder if I could just pose one question, but I understand your ruling that the reply will come in writing. The question is simply this. Of the total number of bursaries dispersed to dependents of military veterans, what proportion was not dispersed to dependents of military veterans from MK? Thank you.
You expect a written answer, isn't it? Okay. Honourable members, we are exhausted this item. Added to the responses from the department. Can we go forward to the next item, inviting the department to make a presentation about the military deterrence? That is the second and third quarter expenditure and performance report. Can we get it from the department? Who's responsible? DG?
Thank you, Chair. The second quarterly performance report, which covers the period ending September, that is June to September, has been duly submitted.
Sorry, DG, can you come closer to the mic so that we can hear your voice, please?
Thanks, sir. The second quarterly report covering the period June to September 2014 has been duly submitted and distributed. I will not go into the legislative mandate and so on, but straight to the tables that indicate the approved budget program structure, and under the three programs, as we know, being the first one, administration, and sub-programs within that being management, corporate services, financial administration, internal audit, strategic planning, policy development, monitoring and evaluation, and office accommodation. And then socioeconomic support, being sub-programs, database and benefits management, healthcare and well-being services, socioeconomic support management. And the third and last program being empowerment and stakeholder management. And within that, having the three sub-programs, provincial office and stakeholder relations, empowerment and skills development, heritage, memorials, careers, and honors. During this period, that is the second quarter, there were 21 performance indicators committed to. Of the 21, 14 were achieved, which constitutes 67% overall achievement of the targeted performance. As of 30th September, the budget expenditure was at 17%, which constitutes 88 million with a variance of 20. And then, of course, the table there shows the variance in terms of targets planned, targets achieved, and then the performance rating of that, broken down per branch. And move further. On the SPAPP, our annual performance plan, the total number of deserving military veterans. Chair, if I may just go straight to the rates instead of going through each one of them, just to the rates only, the red flags. The number of deserving military veterans is decent housing per year, and they are the indicators, the first quarter targets, and even here during the second quarter, without going into the numbers, the second quarter should have been 200. And the third increase to 3 and so on. There's a major variance in that there's been no movement, despite the in-principle cooperation agreements with the provinces being translated into actual action. A matter we've also discussed with the annual reports. And then the second aspect, that is the contribution to the NDP, the MTSF, and the outcomes, MTSF outcomes and executive authority priorities. On the ensuring a fully functional department with an independent vote systems and processes, we did submit, in terms of progress to date, submitted the draft 2013-14 annual report to AG, and also the fourth quarter annual report for submission to National Treasury performance monitoring and evaluation as well as the AG, and then develop the reporting guidelines, templates and instruction submitted for approval, and then draft monitoring guidelines and SOP for performance information as well, and then the Section 14 manual updated and edited with the translation into Afrikaans, Sesotho, Setswana languages have been finalized. During that period, further translation in all other South African languages was in progress. And then the Section 32 report as well being sent through. The Appeals Board and Advisory Council nominations were sent through for recommendation and later to the Minister. And then the submission for gazetting Section 15 documents available, automatically available, sent for approval as well. Then the Chief Information Officer, and then payment of outstanding rental for the DMV building, and then long-term infrastructure and capital planning with the Department of Public Works to discuss the participation of the DMV in those processes. On the provision of immediate social relief of distress, to most vulnerable. Progress to date, 693 military veterans were enabled to access social relief of distress in the first quarter of 2014-15 through the DSD FASA program for that support. And on the other contribution linked to the executive authority priorities, support, providing comprehensive support services to military veterans in the areas of healthcare, honor and memorialization, education, training and skills, as well as employment and business opportunities. On healthcare, 4,690 provided with healthcare support. And then on honoring and memorialization, that report was compiled and duly submitted. And then on education, training and skills, 645 reservists were provided to military veterans dependents. 604 military veterans were trained in the areas of sewing, welding, driving, motor vehicle driving, solar geyser training projects were sponsored by Energy Sita through a private company. And then on employment, 455 were placed in construction and maintenance with the Department of Water Affairs in Mpumalanga, and those that were shocked with the Agricultural Research Council now had six-term contracts. On business opportunities, on this one, there are various MOUs to effect business opportunities, MOUs, SLAs. And then on the subsidization or provision of public transport, housing, burial support, on public transport, we have not finalized that yet. During this quarter on housing, the state has remained as supported, but the slight movement is the finalizing the outstanding SLAs with the Northern Cape and the Western Cape government, provincial government. And then on burial support, there is a database of the recipients of the burial support that is available on
DG. Okay, so honorable members, I'm not sure how you started. I feel like the presentation is similar to what has been presented. Most of the issues are repeated in this quarterly report. Is my observation correct? It's not correct.
Honorable Chair, I think the 13-14 annual report ends for the financial year. And these reports are actually the reports of just the last financial year. So we still, now this report was the new annual report that's forthcoming. So it's supposed to give an indication of progress that's been made from the annual report that we received. If there's still progress.
Last quarter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, you can go on. You can go on. DG.
Thanks, sir. On the provision of military veterans heritage, that's on page 9, the provision of military veterans heritage as well as memorialization, we had set ourselves the issue of the establishment of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, establishing heroes and heroines acres, restoration of graves, setting up the Amsterdam Living Memorial and Museum, memorializing the founding military veterans, developing programs, profiling the heritage with it. In terms of progress on all of those, we have started the process to develop a database of all existing memorial sites in the country. And within this context, are looking at the using it also as an opportunity to provide military veterans with the short-term contracts to be able to assist in doing the work. And then furthermore, we've had an engagement with the military veterans establishment from the state, a delegation from Tanzania headed by the Permanent Secretary for Defense and Military Veterans of Tanzania. Furthermore, discussion with the public works, as well as a visit undertaken to look at the repair of the Wall of Remembrance that has been erected in Kampala, Uganda, and then creating and maintaining new partnerships with countries that have military veterans development programs. On empowerment programs on military veterans, There's only a draft proposal for a functional SPV that is on the table. On still on empowerment, military veterans, and enhanced contribution to reconciliation and military veterans. The figures are there indicated, 604 who've been trained in those areas. And then on the high impact communication and marketing strategy and plan, that speaks to profiling the image of military veterans and communicating developments. That has been mainly through events management, in particular with the core launch of the Water Affairs Project, where military veterans have been employed. And then the military veterans digitization project, and then the launch of the call center, maintenance of the website, promotion of BMD through social media. And then on the credibility and security of National Military Veterans Database, we started during this period with the process to update the personal files of the 15,401 military veterans, and then also with the verification status, the verification project for those military veterans who are not on the database. So it's separate issues, the updating of the database, but also the verification of those veterans on the database. Quickly on performance against the third target, I will only zoom in on the red chair, and in this case, the Watcher General's report. The targets for 2014 after annual information, annual performance plan, first quarter, okay, we're reporting on the second quarter, unqualified. Second quarter, actual output validated. That's the disclaimer. So the major variance is the disclaimer. So in terms of the mitigating strategies, the development of an implementation plan to ensure that the audit findings are addressed. But it is indicated there as well. Then strategies, and then the other one, EMBER, in the subsequent page, that is the attendance of the master participation of an attendance of cluster, relevant cluster meetings, that has not been at 100%, with the major variance being at 40%. I think that concludes, yeah, that concludes on the performance indicators. On the achievement, no, performance summary under the administration progress, the plan was to achieve 12 performance targets during the second quarter, and as a result, 10 of them were achieved, constituting 83% achievement. So this indicates that the actual achievements are measuring up to acceptable performance standards. In terms of expenditure, 21% had been spent at that period, constituting 38 million with a variance of 12%. And then on the search, that is socioeconomic support indicators and targets, I'll go to the red only, that is the transport access, that is red, because of reasons I've indicated earlier, and then decent housing per year, similar reasons to that. And on the EMBER, that is the credibility of the database, there's a variance of, in the second quarter, we covered 39% had been achieved. In terms of the performance analysis in the socioeconomic services branch, the aim was to achieve 4 performance targets during the second quarter. 1 was achieved, which constitutes 25% achievement. This indicates that the achievement, actual achievements are not measuring up to the acceptable performance standards. And in terms of expenditure, only 12% of budget constituting 20 million with a variance of 18%. On the other indicators, which is for Program 3, ESM Empowerment and Stakeholder Management. So just zooming straight on the red, that speaks to the issue of the SPV. I've already indicated that the proposal for the national SPV has been presented for consideration by the CMV. So that's in red, and the yellow or amber is the number of strategic initiatives established at the different levels, national, continental, and international levels. Only one was realized in the second quarter, which was the trip of a delegation to Uganda from the department and the scope of, for a revised country-to-country MOU under consideration. In terms of performance analysis, the aim was to achieve 5 performance targets during the second quarter. 3 of them were achieved, which constitutes 60%. And then as of 30th September, 18% of the budget, which constitutes 29 million, had been expended. On the overview of performance on human resources, targets and compliance, that's the different salary levels and the number of schools approved. On the approved establishment, 169, number of funded posts, 135, number of permanent posts filled, 123, number of vacant posts and in the balance of that, 49. And then those posts collapsed, totaling 7. And then number of contract posts, that is additional to the establishment, 36, and then permanent posts additional to the establishment at 3 during the first quarter, second quarter. And then on the equity statistics per branch, there's the breakdown in terms of race and gender by program. African female in the program 1 administration 35, in the CES 8, in the ESM 3, administration color female 0, CES 1, ESM 0, total 1, and then on white female administration 1. Melbet, first one, and then and so on we go. But let me go to the total to save us time. So total employees in 80, in program 1, 16, and 27, giving the total of 123, broken down in those different gender categories per branch. On performance and financial information, on compensation of employees, 92 million, the annual budget. Projected expenditure per quarter as of 30th September, 46 million. And then the expenditure until 30th September, 39 million. So a variance or deviation of 6.5 million, and mainly due to delays in the non-filling of funded vacant posts. During this period, posts were advertised and expected to be filled in January 2015. On goods and services, 404 million in the annual budget, and the projected was 202, actual expenditure 45, about a deviation of 156 million. Now the variance there, and there's the explanation, that the actual expenditure of 88 million against the departmental budget of 504 is below the threshold that should have been spent at the time of quarter two. This was mainly due to claims and services or payments to service providers not being processed due to an unavailability of the system controller within the department. Also during, this is also during the period of the absence of a CFO during this period. But the appropriation is as indicated, the administration 178, says 168, and ESM 157. Current transfers, quarterly expenditure as of 30th September, 854,000. And then on payments for capital assets, that's indicated on those. The variance there, the deviation, is due to the problems that we experienced with the contract for delivery of furniture, which contract was then terminated. And only the partial, whatever had been delivered at that point, was paid. On the administration program, performance on financial information, budget expenditure trend per program, administration, there are the figures, but the actual expenditure was 88 and available 416. So it was 17%, which is also low for the period under review. And the variance is quite significant there. In conclusion, on the second quarter report, successful implementation being relied on the common shared vision. That concludes the second quarter report.
Thank you, DG. I think on the previous presentation, we should also agree that the report that honorable members are requesting should be made available. I take it they are available already. They are available. They are available. And then the questions that have not been answered, if you can furnish more information on those questions and the I was only going to suggest that a roadshow. Are you able to take a roadshow? Maybe the department should go on a roadshow and for to interact with military veterans. But if members do agree, would want the portfolio committee and maybe the joint also to join you on the roadshow. Will it make our work easier, honorable members? Okay. Is that great? Okay. Then, but we'll also have to make a walkabout at a certain stage at your office. And one thing that I've realized that is that you are not utilizing your IT systems. I think you need to install a very adequate IT system. Corporate talk about customer relationship management, but it's very relevant also in government because we must have intimacy with your clients, with our veterans. That was the second item, Department of Military Veterans, financial year 2014, isn't it? And 15, second and third quarter expenditure performance report. That was the last report. The second report, yeah. Yeah. Do we have any comments, honorable members, on this, or should they go on with another report before we comment? Okay, you can go on with another report, and then you will then get comments from honorable members.
Okay, Chair, I'll go straight to overall performance per program. That is on page 5, slide number 5. On this 19 performance indicators in the quarter under review, we targeted 8 of the 19 were achieved, which constitutes 42%. As of 31st December 2014, expenditure had been at 36%, which constituted 180 million, variance being 26. and then there's the comparative analysis of the non-financial performance per program during the third quarter of 14-15 financial year. And there you see the indication per program administration set and the ESM, and the total there making up the 42% broken down. So 42% performance during the quarter under review. I'll go straight to the rates. The number of deserving military veterans with decent housing still standing at red. And then the access to relevant training and skills development per year. The major variance in this one was 500, and not, which constitutes about 50%. Communication and advocacy strategy has been developed to encourage military veterans and their dependents from around the country to register for skills development, skills training programs, including the establishing cooperatives of military veterans. And then on the number of private sector, the other red, number of private sector companies in partnership with the Department of Military Veterans, here the target was not achieved. With the major variance, and it was envisaged that in the fourth quarter this would be concluded. Now on the other matters of linkage of the contribution to executive authority priorities, again establishing the fully functional department, submission of the second quarterly report that was done, and submitted further to National Treasury Performance Monitoring and Evaluation and the Auditor General, and then further incorporating the inputs from those entities. And second draft of ACP also tabled. Similarly, on the strategic plan, inputs from the Treasury, DPME, and AG as well were also submitted. And then the payment of outstanding rental for the DMV building was in process. And then the DMV entered into an annexure to the MOU we have with CETA on the VPN, the Virtual Private Network, that has been approved. And that's what is giving rise to the development of that virtual network with the team and with other associates. And then SRD, as indicated during this quarter, 693, we're unable to access SRD through those periods. The next one, on the comprehensive support services to military veterans, and where applicable to their dependents, but not limited to. All of those areas, acquiring healthcare and wellness center, access to health support, honor and memorialization, education, training and skills development, facilitation of advice to on business opportunities and facilitation of employment placement. The status is as indicated there on healthcare, 6,539, and then honor and memorialization, 50th commemoration and execution of Mini Kaingwe Mkaba, and then the 25th commemoration of the slaying of Andrew France, and then the annual commemoration of World War I, and relaying ceremonies at various sites across the country. On education, training and skills, on education, 645 bursaries provided to military veterans and their dependents, the bulk being the dependents. Employment, 63. New jobs for military veterans recorded during the period under review, broken down as follows: 60 military veterans employed permanently by the Mkhali municipality, two new appointments in the DMZ, those being military veterans, then one contract appointment, that is the Samba Secretary General post, and the business opportunities, draft plan has been developed to visit provinces during the fourth quarter of the financial year to be able to provide training for military veterans who have indicated a willingness to register cooperatives. Those engagements did starts already during the fourth quarter, and the DTI and CEDA provided the training with the DMV funding these training workshops, as well as the assistance with registration of the course. On the other areas of benefit, provision of public transport, housing, burial support, and pensions. Public transport has not yet finalized the MOU on housing. Those outstanding SLAs with the Western Cape and the Northern Cape are being finalized. And a transfer of 78 million to the Department of Human Services, and the list of approved beneficiaries approved to pave the way for houses to be built. And on burial support, 160 burial support services to deserving military veterans during the third quarter. And on the pensions, a draft pension framework for consideration and approval with the ministry, and also developing a service delivery channel. On the heritage matters, memorialization and honoring, we're still in the process to developing the database of all existing memorial sites around the country, and then we've indicated the activities of heritage that we participated in. On the empowerment programs, SPG, that was tabled for consideration during that time, and then military veterans, empowering them for contribution to reconciliation and nation building. Draft plan for engagement with provinces in the fourth quarter to provide training for military veterans who've indicated that interest in, and then communication and advocacy strategy. And on the 850 military veterans and dependents provided. And then on the skills base for military veterans, developing, confirming, and deepening the skills base of military veterans. It speaks also to that communication strategy to be able to effect and implement this. And then high-tech communication and marketing strategy. This is ongoing. This is ongoing activity. And then credibility and security of the database. During this period under report, the verification process was well underway with the process to verify the bona fides of military veterans who neither demobilized nor integrated in 1994. So that separates to the updating of the existing database. And then that's the number of the records that have been verified. And then performance against targets. I'll go only to the red flags, and that is on page 16. There's a yellow before, yeah. That is the percentage of cases from the National Anti-Corruption Hotline concluded within the stipulated time frame, as determined by the OPSC, Office of Public Service Commission. It's a major variance is 1.39. Okay. And then on the others, which are the red approved, human resource skills plan, the variance here during the third quarter, the skills plan had not yet been presented as planned to the executive authority, but it was presented to the accounting officer during this period. So just that one last date that needs to be finalized. And then average days of outstanding payments, that's another rate, payments that is claimed and invoices during the third quarter. Legitimate invoices which are compliant were paid within 30 days as required. The others are still in the process, hence you see the rates. So performance summary, an analysis of that on program one in administration. The planned achievement was 10 performance targets during the third quarter. Seven of them were achieved. which constitutes 70%, and indicates that the actual achievements are measured to acceptable standards. In terms of expenditure, in the administration program, 48% had been spent, constituting 85 million in that period. The red areas to flag speak to the number of deserving access to transport again, and then housing. That remains a red area. Security of the database, a major variance is at 44%. And then the performance analysis on the SAS program, four areas of performance, that performance targets during the third quarter. One was achieved, constituting 25%. And then expenditure, 32% had been spent during this period, which constitutes 53 million, and the variance is 24%. The other red areas within, in overall terms, that is in ESM, sorry, it's the SPV establishment, and then also the MOU concluding with respect to training and skills development. In that regard, it's MOUs that have been signed to train the military veterans, and the list having been submitted. So that is still in the red. And then also the reduction in the level of unemployment among military veterans, that is in the red. Because in implementing that, discussions were held with the Department of Social Development as well as FACITA to secure short-term employment for military veterans. These are expected for implementation during the fourth quarter. Still, memorial sites, strategic initiatives at national. The plan for the international relations being developed with the stakeholder concerns. This has not materialized as yet. And then in terms of private sector companies in partnership with the DMZ, during the fourth quarter, this has not been achieved, and during the fourth quarter, MOUs and partnership agreements would be finalized. In terms of the actual performance analysis, five performance targets were set and none achieved during this particular quarter. But in terms of expenditure, 26% of the budget, which constitutes 41 million, with the variance as indicated. So here, there was zero performance in the quarter under review. On an establishment table, there is indicated in terms of the establishment table has the salary levels right from level 2 right up to 16, broken down as indicated. And there the number of vacant posts, 43, and the number of permanent posts collapsed at 7. And additional to the establishment, 45. And then going on to equity statistics per branch, per program, as the breakdown in the administration program, 78, and broken down, there's not much movement change with the quarter before, as we reported. It remains the same, more or less. And budget expenditure trends per program, annual budget 504, and the actual expenditure 180, available budget that's 324, as at the end of that particular quarter, which is end of December, and there's the variance as indicated. I think that concludes this part of the presentation.
Yeah, thank you very much. Can we have comments or questions?
Honorable Chair, Acting Chair, I would like to just raise the issue that there is a great concern about the lack of achievement of the targets. Again, it's being repeated. And of course, what will it lead to? Are we expecting an unqualified report again, or are we expecting worse? That's the one. And I'm looking also at the personnel. If I'm looking at the personnel of 169 as funded post now, it's number 135. Thus far, 129 has been appointed. So until the end of the last financial, it we had about 123, which was 91%. And that increase, the others supposed to be already in position. It's only 6 posts that have been filled. So we're sitting there with 129, but I don't understand vacant posts again at 43. I don't have my spectacles here. Vacant post at 43 and the collapsed post of 7. If the DG can explain this to me, what exactly, because I need to add up figures and it needs to reconcile. I don't see the reconciliation clearly unless I'm reading it wrongly. Because from 129 to 169 gives you exactly 40. But here's vacant post of 43 and collapsed post of 7. So the teacher understand, and then of course in terms of the law, all other departments do it. I'd like to know what's the compliance, because there's no comment of compliance on the establishment and also the EEE, employment equity, in terms of the employment equity. There's no issue of compliance noted at all. That is completely overlooked. So I've got a serious concern here of targets that's not being achieved and is being repeated. From what we've seen in the annual report of the year before, we expect that there must be a huge improvement because of the staff capacity. Clearly, as indicated here, we've got number of contract posts additional as 45 and additional interns as 22. And these are not only any intern, they are university graduates. So it's people that are well educated that are working in that department. So we got additional year of 67 additional staff. Now, I find it unacceptable that these targets are not being met and people are not driven and supervised to achieve targets. And we can see that in the second quarter, I expected the third quarter, there will be an improvement, that's why I said read the third quarter. We have waited now for these reports. We in the first quarter of the new financial year. It is now April. What is it today? February. We're in February. February, coming to the end of the financial year, which is of course end of March. This is now the fourth quarter. So we've received the second quarter report quite late. And the third quarter is supposed to have also been finished. We're on the last quarter now. So also the delay in the reporting creates a problem, because we can pick up these problems way ahead of time, like the AEG is supposed to do that as well. So to check on performance information and also financial information. And that was some of the issues raised by the AG in giving a disclaimer. Both information and financial and performance information was lacking. So I think we don't want to repeat. We definitely want to up the game here, and the people that are working in the department need to come to the party. The leadership, the SMS of the department must ensure that managers are actually doing their work, that officials are executing their job, and that this reporting happens more regularly so that we can have a huge improvement in this department. I would definitely not like to see a disclaimer again and like to see an improvement. I can't go worse than a disclaimer. That's really hitting the bottom. Then, of course, the issue that I have is that the report also indicates that the 30-day period has been complied with for accounts that are, in terms of the annual report, legitimate and compliant. Now, clearly, there were contractors here that were contracted, deals were signed off, and everything. So there are actually accounts not reported here for us, and those are suspended accounts. So it's easy to report that the 30-day period has been met with legitimate and compliant accounts, but you have not met the issue and not dealt with the suspended accounts. And we have no idea of how many suspended accounts there are, except that I know that the furniture contractor that failed and that has been cancelled now, and a new contractor has been appointed, and what are the implications of that? Who were money issued to the person, was their claim against the person, was their retention. They are all implications. We don't know about all the procurement issues. There's no detail. And I would like to commit to receive, actually, a report on all those procurement issues, ending issues, irregularity, unauthorized expenditure, a detailed report so that we know who is actually doing what in the department and why has it not complied with our regulations of the PFMA. Then there's also the indication that the military veterans will get involved in the mining and energy sectors. Now, what exactly is the nature of that? I know the one is solar geysers. Now, what is the nature of military veterans getting involved in mining? I just need some explanation. There are different avenues being pursued, but exactly how are military veterans positioned to work with those sectors? So those are a few comments I've got to make on these reports, and I hope that the department will improve, and we expect, well, the fourth quarter is almost gone, so the time is extremely limited to get to share. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think most of what you've said are just comments. I'm not sure, DC, whether you want to say you went or two out of those comments, or
now, Chair, we will submit the report, Chair, on the matters that the honourable members have raised with respect to this quarter, as well as the previous quarter two. We will submit the written report to the committee.
One observation, honourable. Just want to raise the issue on page 6 of the third quarter. That will be the slide before 12. Okay, page 6 of the third quarter. There's an indication, of the 20,752 records were verified after 57,344. Now that is 36%. According to the quarter report, we're supposed to have 39. But the previous year's annual report speaks about 40% achievement. So somehow we're not progressing. We're actually regressing. So I think the figures are not very accurate. Then also the issue of unemployment. I see the actual warm bodies are indicated here, which I'm pleased with, because last time we spoke about 3% unemployment, about 3% of 13,700 of verified people. And then they worked it out and said, oh, they overachieved because 1,200 and someone were employed, and therefore it was 10.79%. That is no great achievement, 1,200 people that were employed, and we got 57,000 on the one database only. So I think we need to look at that more seriously, because these individuals are really in desperate circumstances, and they don't have many other skills except that they fought, and they know how to handle a gun. But other skills, I think we need to up the game and provide alternative skills and alternate opportunities for the military veterans. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So I think that the department will have to seriously up the game in terms of what Honorable Essa is raising. Now, what I want to ascertain is when exactly would we be able to get some of these responses that are in writing, because what we are expected to do next week Wednesday, we are expected to adopt a report that will take to the National Assembly. It may be good that we have the responses, because when we come back here we may find that we don't see things the same as the committee. See, most of the committee members are not here, so I expected to table the report to the committee. From there, we must do what we call, we must get our findings and recommendations to the National Assembly. May I just get an indication of how soon can we get these responses? It should not be very difficult responses, just to go back, verify, do checks and balance in terms of the figures that we have raised, and just make some improvements so that we don't get a difficulty of adopting the report, because that's what we must do next week, Wednesday. Do you want to comment?
Yes, thank you very much. We can provide that by next week, Tuesday. I don't know if that will be enough. Next week, Tuesday.
Alright. I think that will suffice, because we've got to adopt the report on Wednesday. So I think either this with me. I've not opened the meeting, but I think I'll have to be the one closing it. We would like to thank you very much on behalf of the chairperson, thank the department, and we're just hoping that we'll have a turnaround of the department, but continue to encourage all those officials who are trying to turn the situation around to have more morale, and you must not feel disempowered or losing morale. Whatever comments have been raised by members are just meant to up the morale and make sure that it's fair for the military veteran with all that they need and all that they deserve. So with those few words, this meeting is